Hello and welcome to the Retail Podcast. We'll start off with an apology. Apologies that I've not been able to put anything up in this space for a while. Unfortunately, the Retail Podcast activities that pay have been taking precedent. So it's been a fantastic start to the year and it's only just beginning. Quick, sort of, if you like, a snapshot of where we're going. Next week, I should be at Salesforce Connections in Chicago. Really looking forward to that one. I was there last year. I loved seeing Yeti. I loved seeing TikTok. There was a lot of firsts. I think Salesforce had done a great job of, you know, being a first mover into how their platform will move into AI, but this isn't about Salesforce. Let's crack on. Then come back for a week, then go off to Barcelona for Shop Talk in Barcelona, which will be another cracking event, I'm sure. And then next is I'm really excited about this, is flying off to Shanghai for a three-day retail safari with our partners at Landor and WPP. So I'm really looking forward to looking at the best of what Shanghai has to offer. Then it's over across to Singapore for a NRF Asia First. So this is the first event in Asia, so I'm really excited to see. I've had a look at the speakers, and some of you may have known that I think the last episode that I have up is actually the interview with Reef, who is the head of, if you like, all things NRF Asia. So he's the head of, I think he's managing director for NRF Asia. But I'm super, super excited. I've never been to Shanghai. I've never been to Singapore. Any recommendations or anything you think I should drop by and see or go do, let me know. Obviously, I'm on a very restricted time in terms of just 3 days in apparently what is a massive metropolis, but always looking for new things. Also, thank you again for the support we've been getting. I don't think I've talked about this really, but the two platforms that keep me busy is retailnews.ai and obviously the Retail Podcast, plus all the retainers and all the other stuff that I do as part of the commercialization of the work that we do with the Retail Podcast. But thank you, because again, I think there are so much information out there, and for you to give me a little bit of your time in the day just to listen to what's going on, I'm incredibly grateful for. And again, if you know me and you met me in person, you know that I'm not full of BS. I genuinely mean that in terms of I'm genuinely grateful, and hence why there's no video. This is an intimate podcast episode for you, the listener, who has been supporting us from the very beginning. So thank you, wherever in the world you are, which is the other key thing, that our global audience and, you know, a retail conversation across the globe is really where we are. We have listeners that are equally almost split between Asia, Europe, and the US. And again, as a project that I started out of my frustration of working at one of the largest tech companies in the world, I'm again incredibly grateful for. So let's jump into today's episode. We're going to be focusing on the major trends that I've noticed at, if I list them all off for you so you know where I've been and where these trends are coming from. So we start with NRF in the US, which was in January. Then I went over to Eurosys in Germany, in Dusseldorf, which was okay. I've got to be honest, in terms of content, very lackluster in content. And I don't know if I'll probably go back next year, if I'm being brutally honest. But anyway, then it was off to Shop Talk Las Vegas, which was phenomenal. I really, really enjoyed that. Lots of great talks, lots of great tracks. Then it was over to, and I'm probably getting this in the wrong order, so I apologize for this. You sat there shouting at the speaker saying, you can't have gone to Las Vegas, because Retail Week in London happened before Shop Talk, I think. I went to London and then we went off to the US. And then the World Retail Congress, which I thought, I've always been a bit, I've had a lot of people say lots of good things about it, and it lived up to all the expectations. And I think the strapline, I don't know if I gave it the strapline or already had the strapline in terms of where CEOs go to learn, was definitely evident by the quality of content that was provided. But as I said, again, Shop Talk for me was fantastic, as was NRF, in terms of the level and quality of content that was produced. So let me just give you some headlines of the digital trends that I've noticed from this. This is not everything, and I think each event organizer has provided their own key takeaways, but I'll just give you mine. Mobile commerce dominance. Again, I don't think this is anything new to any of you, but we all know that mobile shopping is continuing to grow through social engagement and social commerce, which is another one of the subject areas. But basically, it's not going away. And I find it incredible that the experiences that I have, and I say this reflecting on our own mobile website compared to our web website, are so different. And, you know, that's shame on me for highlighting digital trends I've not adopted for our own platform. But anyway, personalization and AI are going and continuing. I think I'd love to extract AI from this in terms of personalization is a theme and AI is a theme, but AI helping and driving personalization as highlighted by Snowflake, by Sainsbury's, and there was an episode that I did covering that. You can see where, you know, like it or not, and I think we do like it because all of the research and all the speakers that I've listened to have all said how much consumers want to be heard and seen. And if they're giving up their personal data to be a member of a loyalty club, they want things that are bespoke to them. And the only way that you can do that on such a grand scale is really through AI. And I think there's some great industry examples of what's happening. Social commerce, you know, the birth of TikTok, where I spend quite a lot of my time, I don't mind saying that, listening to music and just genuinely being entertained, is not going away. Although in the US, obviously, there's a big battle about to commence on what social commerce would look like and whether or not TikTok will stay in that market. But interestingly enough, Instagram has launched its own subscription advertising platform. I don't know if it's launched or they've beta launched it, but I just found it incredible that, you know, Meta has already sort of, they feel that they're going to be the only show in town. And so they're moving away from content creation from creators and saying, hey, if you want to advertise with us, we now have this advertising platform, which I'm not going to really comment on that, but it's an interesting thing that's happening. Omnichannel, multi-channel, there's so many words for this, right? The channel is irrelevant. You know this, I know this. Customers want to be served where they are, whenever they want to be served in terms of the time, right? So sometimes things happen because stock updates don't happen regularly, or they only happen once a week or every couple of days. And so, you know, if a shopper is online out of hours, then they may have to wait till tomorrow to know when things are online. So the whole omni-channel or multi-channel experience is not going away. But ultimately, if retailers are going to try and become more technology-led, they understand that their channels need to come together. And I think Target did a great, about 5 years ago, actually, when they integrated their e-commerce channel checkout into their store checkout. So all of the data sharing was the same. They could do everything together. Omnichannel experience is still there. And I'm going to talk about some of the themes about buying online and delivering in store in the next section. Subscription-based models, they're still here. I think depending on the provider, whether it's a Spotify like music subscription or movie subscription, I think we are going through a transition and transformation in this space, but it's not going away. Almost every single SaaS or platform provider has a subscription model, from AI subscriptions to image subscriptions to shopping to clothing. It is here. And I think that definitely going to be part of the, and I love this phrase, if you've heard it, yeah, I don't think everyone's heard this, but one of the phrases that I heard was, if you take Gen Alpha and Gen Z, you get Gen's Alpha. And so, you know, Gen's Alpha definitely doesn't want to own everything, wants to rent everything. For now, I do see that being a trend that will change. But anyway, subscription-based models here to serve and will continue to grow. Sustainability and ethical consumerism. Again, I don't know if this is new, but there's in the US when we were at NRF, I think there was only two talks on sustainability, maybe three maximum. Whereas at Shop Talk, again in the US, it sort of bumped up to maybe 4, maybe 5. Whereas in Europe, a lot of the focus is on sustainability and ethical consumerism. And there is a lot of new startups, super exciting startup in this whole sort of reuse, repurpose, and not to throw away. I think this is an incredibly exciting space, and it's just getting started. And I love seeing at some of the events, the startups that have moved into this field, specifically across Europe, that I've seen that have really worked really well. This is a really old one, but it's here, and I don't think it's going away. And obviously, Apple has launched its own offering in here, but augmented and virtual reality is here to stay. I think as with all technology, it's maturing, it's improving. The cost to integrate, for example, product catalogs or getting your products into different types of devices, that cost is coming down. It's becoming more accessible. And as that happens and the cost of devices for the consumer continues to drop, we'll continue to see this increase. Payments and delivery, obviously there's lots of different payment options and payment providers, and I'm really enjoying seeing some of the new models by having new payments options that I've seen popped up, and I think that's really exciting. And obviously in the same ilk, although again they don't go together, but I've just popped them in the same box, delivery, the automation of that, and how I look forward to the more and more automation. Obviously Amazon have been leading in this space, but I've seen quite a few different types of automation delivery services that ultimately means that we can not only be more environmentally friendly in this space by managing delivery with new methods, but also more efficiency, right? Getting rid of all the diesel that's wasted by poor delivery mechanisms. The continued growth of this sort of micro influencer, TikTok, social commerce. But for me, this is about community. So community commerce, I haven't heard anyone talk about, in the sense that I remember a meeting with the UK's largest, one of the largest stores that sells technology. And I remember this was about 5, 6 years ago. It was actually part of my interview process that I sort of turned up to the COO and CIO then, saying, hey, look, you've got a bunch of gamers, you've got a bunch of people keeping fit. Why are you not treating them as communities within your store? Why are you not creating hubs and being the heart of the community within this space? Companies like Rafa have done a fantastic job at being at the heart of the cycling community. Brooks for running, you know, there's so many brands that Gymshark have done this, and these established retailers sort of were very interested. And I think now they are, this was, bear in mind, 5, 6 years ago, so probably have a new, well, I do know they've got new COOs, new CIO, but it was interesting, you know, 5, 6 years ago presenting that as a thing that they should be doing, and now seeing some of that come to life. So they're the major trends, if you like, or trends, not major trends, trends that I noticed at the events over the last couple of months. To focus in on some of these statistics behind them, so 73% of retail consumers who shop across multi-channel have a higher propensity to buy. And again, you probably know this because you work in retail and you see this, but the number of channels that you need to get a consumer across, you may not know, is 3. So if you're able to engage with a consumer across 3 channels, a propensity for customer engagement is 251% more than a single channel retailer. I think that says everything. I will quote the ref. That's from the Future of Commerce, e-commerce trends 2024. That's the source for that statistic. And I 100% believe in that. And one of the things I noticed at Shop Talk, uniquely at Shop Talk, was the amount of executives who were really concerned on conversion of customers due to the nature of how long it's taking to convert, because of there are so many more touch points that customers go through. And that's why social commerce is just, you know, TikTok Shop, for example, taking off, because they sort of seem to do all of those elements in one spot. But then the question comes to all retailers, who do you want to own the data of your customer? And I'm sure the answer should be the retailer. I mentioned this in the last section in terms of about social community commerce, but I'll read the statistic to you. Social community commerce anticipated to soar to an outstanding 1.48 billion euros. Translated, it was about $1.5 billion, I think it was, in social commerce, which is a pivotal force in 2024. And then in this statistic, this is actually saying social commerce encompasses, which I think was a first for me, gaming, VR, live shopping, chatbots, shoppable video formats, and social media selling. The source for that was actually a banking group in the UK. They're called Barclays. They're quite big and have a quite big portfolio. So this was their research that was talking about social and community commerce. Re-commerce, I mentioned this earlier. And again, I think the UK economy and focus on this will do well out of this. And the statistic here is reusing, reselling, and renting is almost worth 8.13 billion euros to the UK economy as consumers embrace more sustainable shopping. Where was that from? That was from Monitor Intelligence Industry Reports, Artificial Intelligence. Oh, no, hang on a minute. I'm losing my sources. Maybe that was from Barclays as well. Forgive me. No, it says that was from Barclays. Okay. So that was from the Barclays report. The final one, which you've probably been battered over the head about AI in retail. But the size of AI in retail is estimated to grow to 9.14 billion this year. And it's expected to reach 37.5 billion by 2029. And I think, you know, from what I've seen and heard, a lot of people are trying to pass off ML or some form of, you know, ML type outcome as an AI outcome. And again, this was my own, someone was sort of schooling me and, hey, but this all falls underneath the umbrella of AI. And I think basically let's look at AI in terms of being multiple things coming together for a self-determined outcome from the actual AI or bot that's producing those outputs. So I can see it happening in pricing, although dynamic pricing is a theme that not all retailers have, especially in grocery, have got behind because they're not deploying dynamic pricing at the shelf edge, which I just find incredible. But again, that'll probably do a whole episode on that. So there were the sort of focused numbers for e-commerce or digital trends. And some of the things that I've learned to leave you with, some of the strategies in this world that, again, from my US listeners, you guys have been doing this since COVID, hence most of these phrases are from the US. But obviously, we all know BOPIS, or if you don't, buy online, pick up in store, or buy online, pick up curbside. BOPO, which is, I think, an emerging trend for this year or started last year. And just on a side note, the automobile industry has suffered from this for years. Every time you go and buy a car, unless you don't do this, you're probably in the minority, but most people will go and spend up to 7 to 12 hours of research, not in one go, but over a period of time when they're going to buy a car, and they go through multiple things, up to 24 digital touch points before they actually buy a car. We're now seeing that, whether it's the cost of living crisis, whether it's inflation, or just in general, people are more aware. I do think this Gen Alpha is far more aware than any other generation in what's going on. But ROPO is research online, purchase offline, digital touch points and time to purchase, which is I talked earlier on. So that's another one. And then the one that made me laugh, because obviously Doris in the UK, again, maybe you know a Doris, and so, but it's a lovely name. But it also, they've made an acronym out of it, deliver online and return in store. And obviously the return problem is a huge headache. And again, that has been sliced and diced in different ways. So that is my quick, if you like, quarterly review of the major trends from the event so far. As I said, please feel free to reach out to me at alex@theretailpodcast.com. You know, I don't think I've asked anyone to, maybe I have said subscribe or smash that like button. But again, I think everyone does it, and it'd be a miss to not, if you've stayed with me to this point, if you can leave some form of positive rating or comment or interaction, as they all say, it does help. Every little help. And until next time, I bid you farewell.